morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Normally, at this particular point in me giving a talk, I look over there and I'm looking for Mary because she always gives encouragement. Sorry, I got myself all choked up before I even started yet. But there we go. So, yes, she always gives encouragement. That's always great. And also, as I've caught Andy's eye, I also realise the very first line of this particular passage is, let not many of you become teachers. And just as Andy suggested last week, just go now. Because, it's tough being teachers. And I'll share with you some key reasons why that is so difficult. But also, learning from Andy, I've managed to nail this down into 3 points, and that's pretty good, and so I'm doing really well from that point of view. The talk I've called "Our Words Are a Window into Our Heart," and it's true to say that when we speak, it reflects what's in our heart, and that's actually the main theme of this chapter. You can tell so much from how people speak and what they say, what's deep down in there, and that's a real challenge for me, because I actually think I'm really bad at that, and so you have to excuse me. I'm not sharing this talk from the point of view of saying I've nailed it and this is what you should do. I'm sharing this from the point of view of, I have not nailed it, and can we all help each other to make some progress and make a step forward? There we go. I went the wrong way. There we go. So these are my three main points: our words, the things that we say. Our teacher's words, and I've taken some consultancy on where to put the apostrophe. Yes. And I am, thank you, Sheila. There are more than one teacher. There are lots of teacher's words, our teacher's words. And that's why that apostrophe is there. Also took consultancy about what Jesus' words, whether it's Jesus' words or Jesus' words or Jesus' words. I've gone for Jesus' words. So I'm going to cover these three areas as we go, So James is absolutely fantastic book. I've really been very, very excited by James and the book of James, and one of the things that I found out about it, and I'm sure that you all know this, but for me it was breaking news. So this is very exciting that James is the oldest book in the New Testament. So that means it was actually written down, although I have to appreciate that none of these things have got copyright stamps on them, no contracts of publishing, but this book was written down before the Gospels were written down in terms of its date. And it's dated by all the people that I've checked out to about 45 A.D., which is like 12, 15 years after Jesus died for us on the cross. And so that's actually not that long ago in those times. And I don't know whether you feel that 10 to 12 to 15 years ago was very long. And I mean, here are some of the things that were happening 10 to 15 years ago for us. There was the Olympic Games in London. It still seems fresh to me, all that stuff. I remember a lovely day that I spent walking with Paul and Wendy and Sheila, and we were walking down to the rowing at Eton and to see the English team's race there. It just seems so recent to me, so imminent. President of America was the lovely Obama. Miss him so much. You probably don't necessarily would remember the unpronounceable Icelandic. It blew up, and all the aeroplanes couldn't fly across the Atlantic. And my son Max was stuck in New York because he was out there on business and couldn't get back, and he had one credit card that didn't have any credit limit left in order to look after himself while he was out there. So that was good. And of course, the lovely wedding of the future king and future queen that all took place in those times. So that wasn't very long ago, was it? To me, that seems very, very fresh in my mind. So when James, or Jacob, as Paul said, who was the author, when he wrote this down, he was remembering what happened not too long ago. And if your brother was raising people from the dead and walking on water and feeding 5,000 and bringing about that love of God for people, you'd remember that, and you would record it really, really very well. And one of the things that Paul Ratton shared with us a few weeks ago was that in the book of James, there are like 19 cross-references with the main themes and thoughts in the Gospels, particularly in the parable of the sower. Fantastic, intense teaching of Jesus that captures the intensity of Jesus' teaching. With the blessed are you. The antithesis that was in there said, you have heard it said, but I say. Those different things. And then in chapter 6 of Matthew, it talks about it's not all about good works, and not good works just for recognition, not so people know that you're good because you've done good things, but it's good works that flow out of your relationship with him. And what you say, judge not. Don't judge other people, lest you also be judged. A warning against the teaching of false teachers and bad teachers, and the so that was that, and that's all there in James, all cross-referencing across in James, and yet it was written down later, and so it seems to me really clear that the people who wrote the Gospels and the man who wrote James, that they are referencing the same material, i.e. what they saw with their eyes and what they've felt in their spirits. And so this is raw. This is almost Jesus speaking to us, reaching out of the Bible and sharing with us, just from a few years before that it was written down. So, So I've done all that. Back again. So, talk a bit about myself, subject to which I know quite a lot. So back in 1973, I want us to go back into 1973, if you can remember 1973. Some of you obviously don't remember 1973, but I do. I was 17. And that's when I made a momentous decision in the same month that The Dark Side of the Moon was released as an album, excellent album. In that same month, I chose to become a Christian, and big choice, big moment. Big moment if you're 17, to make a choice as to where you go. But I had a problem. I always struggled with what came out of my mouth. And I was pretty potty mouthed as a teenager. Probably not in front of my mum and probably not at church. But amongst my buddies and my mates, all manner of came out of my mouth. And it was one of the first ways in which I felt Jesus touch me. And one of the first of perhaps a few thousand things that he needed to be dealt with, and that was perhaps only the first one that was dealt with, and I'm on to five or six now. The other 995 are still to come. But I've always struggled with what came out of my mouth, and I think that's partly because I've got a very weird sense of humour, and sometimes that makes me find things funny that aren't actually funny to 99% of other people, but I still say them. But at least I don't swear in the way that I used to. So getting back to not many of us should become teachers. This is another reference to Matthew. He's also referring... let me just back a little bit. When Jesus was speaking, say the parable, Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was speaking, there was him, he was the teacher, and he referred to other teachers, and they were really the Pharisees, because at that stage in the evolution of Christianity, there was just Jesus, and he was there, and the apostles were all listening. So fast forward 15 years, and Jesus has gone to be with his Father in heaven, and all the apostles are now teachers, and they're all teachers. So when he talks here, he's including two groups of people as the teachers. He's including his fellow people who teaching the and are helping to guide the evolution of the church in those days, and he's also talking about the same people that Jesus talked about, which is the false prophets and the Pharisees, who would create rules that would exclude people, so here's an example of what I meant. Jesus, and it's recounted in Matthew 15, says Jesus was in conflict with the Pharisees about what they taught, and in this particular instance it was about how you become pure, and how you become pure was all about washing your hands and purification rituals, and so there was a big row about it as why Jesus didn't teach that to his own disciples. And Jesus said, and it's pertinent to today's theme, that it's not what goes into your mouth that matters, it was what comes out. And Peter questioned him afterwards and said, what do you mean? What do you mean? And this is what Jesus said. And bearing in mind, Jesus is a bit snippy here to Peter. He's sort of saying, why are you so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach and then comes out of the body? Yeah, very basic biology. But the thing that comes out of a person's mouth comes from their heart. And that's the teaching. It comes from your heart. And it's that that defiles a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. And so it's what's in our heart that matters. And when you create, when you're a teacher, this is why teachers, you shouldn't become a teacher, really. Because if you start teaching stuff like, wash your hands like this, that'll make you purer. If you start teaching stuff like that, then you're misleading the true spirit and the true teaching of Jesus. This is from a guy who knew what Jesus' true teaching was like. So you need to be careful as you teach. And if you teach something that excludes people from the gospel, makes a rule that they can't cross because of who they are, like the colour of their skin or the fact that they're a woman and not a man, if you create rules like that and you teach rules like that and you're excluding things like that, it's really fundamental to the understanding of the love of Jesus. And moving on. Jesus is trying to open the door. James or Jacob is trying to open the door to what you do about that reality of sin in one's heart. And so he says, and I've skipped a few verses to bring clarity to my point. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so this like goes. This is the practical. This is the practical thing that we're talking. How do we get that going? And I think that I've got three things that I'd like to suggest to fill your minds with good things, and that is to spend time with those who speak well of others. Big challenge for me that, because I so often don't. But you should spend time with people who speak well of others, because there's something pure that's coming out of them. Read the Bible, because in the Bible is so much knowledge and information, and that's a really great point. And as Anna shared 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that whole process, that you should just try and emphasize the renewal and the freshness in your mind, so that you can actually get a grip as to what's in your heart and flow that. And I would say, and this is perhaps my main point, is to consider Jesus' words. What kinds of thing did Jesus say himself? And so here I'm stepping out of James and going to John. So these are great statements that include you and I in God's love. And to me, that's the heart of what the word inclusive means. It includes you, and it includes me, and it includes other people as well. And so these are the things that Jesus said that include me and open the door in my heart. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And in John 6:37, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's you and me. And this is what, and in John 6:65, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. And let everyone, and in John 7:37, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. What a great promise. What a great promise. There's more. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in John 11, verse 22, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And in John 14, verse 8, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And finally, I've just come down to the last two verses I wanted to share. Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. That's an open invitation to us all. An open invitation to us all. And the most famous verse of all in the Bible, probably, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I wanted to just end there, really, which is just a recap. You know, that there's the words that are inside us, and we know that needs help. We know that needs fixing. And spend some time with good people, with a good book, and with our good Lord, to get better outcomes from our mouth and from our word. And to remember, really, the words of Jesus, how inclusive they are. And how they move. And I once made that decision to become a Christian. When I was 17 years old, and it was an important decision in my life. It's a decision that's dictated my life. And I know that I know many of you from that era, and I know that you made those same choices, and it's dictated the route of your life as well, and that's a great thing. But there's a chance here for all of you to say again, Jesus, come into my life. So I'll just hand back to Paul in a second, just with this final word. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.